So we're going to move pick up where we left off. I didn't want to overstep my bounds here.
Not at all.
Okay, back over to you.
All right, thank you. Before we get to this picture, Mr. Stump, in previous testimony, you stated that when it comes to right-of-way, you stated that someone determines a value for the necessary right-of-way and they compensate the property owner for that value. Who is it that determines that value?
There are different ways of doing that. Generally, it's done by an appraiser that would do it before and after assessment of the property to quantify the difference.
Hired by the township or hired by the PennDOT?
It depends on who's doing the right-of-way acquisition. So if this were a township project and the township were pursuing right-of-way, that's how the township then would hire. Generally, it's two appraisers, one to do it, and then the second one to check the appraiser. PennDOT would do the same. PennDOT would hire their own appraiser. For that development process, there's no requirement for them to get an appraisal. When it's done through a land development process by a private developer, there's no requirement for them to do an appraisal unless you start talking with the property owner and they want one, then PennDOT will want to see it do one and then make an offer based on that before they consider alternatives.
Okay. Is that compensation strictly at market value at the time of compensation, or does it include any kind of future loss of property value?
It's generally done for the current day.
Current market value.
The payment would be made current day as would the value.
Does the governing authority reimburse the tenant business for any loss of business income, whether it's present or future, that are the result of the time it took to construct the new improvements or due to the loss of business because the business is now much more difficult to access?
I believe impact to access can be a part of the evaluation. I don't believe that impact of construction is. This is not, but I should clarify, I'm not a right-of-way specialist.
Okay.
We have a different department that handles that. I'm familiar with the process, but I don't know the ins and outs.
Okay. All right. With picture four here, this is the alley just after the bend looking north towards Fishburne Road. Two cars going by there, obviously. What I want to emphasize to you is this, here and here. This is right alongside, that's the bicycle and the basketball. This is the alley right alongside the apartment building, which is the very first building that comes in where the intersection will come. Now, would you consider there are children that play there, specifically right in here? That's the only place they have. Would you consider that a safety issue?
Yeah, I think any time children are playing in the road, it's a safety concern.
Okay. All right. Do you, you had already testified, or another question, to you, what would it take to make the alley safe for two-way traffic? Seeing that it's 15 feet in some spots, 18 feet in other spots, 16 feet in some spots.
We'd look to determine what the traffic volume is on the alley, potentially widen the alley, ensure there's sight lines throughout the alley. A public turnaround would be great, since it's kind of, as you mentioned, or somebody mentioned earlier, a long cul-de-sac. But these are all existing conditions that are not necessarily created by this development.
They're impacted, though, by the intersection. The intersection is what creates these issues.
At the signal, which is why we recommend that the signal be widened. I think beyond that, it's only impacted if there are turn restrictions that are enacted. And again, we don't know definitively if there will be or not be. I haven't gotten to the point of, and if there are, what the mitigation of those impacts might be.
Okay. You had stated that you don't know who owns the alley earlier. Is that correct?
I did state that it was clarified during the break that there were some recent plans that indicate there is a 20-foot right-of-way along the alley. Again, I haven't seen that.
And how is that clarified?
From township staff that located them just recently.
Okay. So then you would be surprised, would you be surprised that I talked with Tom Clark, Public Works Director, who believes that the alley is not owned by the township and it is not on any township maintenance maps?
I would believe that it's not on a township maintenance map because it doesn't have a public cul-de-sac or public turnaround. It therefore does not qualify for PennDOT liquid fuels, so they don't add roads that don't meet some minimum standards, and also maybe with for some other reasons that it doesn't meet local road requirements, so that it doesn't qualify for liquid fuels, so it's not put on it on those maps that in PennDOT's mind is what they're paying municipalities to maintain. So if they don't meet minimum requirements, they don't show up here on PennDOT maps as local roads. Even if there may be some easements or some other documentation indicating right away.
Are you aware that the township does not maintain this road?
I think I testified earlier. I wasn't sure if they did or not.
Okay. Just as a side note, Dr. Kramer plows it every year, every snowstorm. So let's look at the impact to Seedlings Academy. Currently, we serve 90 children, 75 different families. Drop-off times are 6:30 to 8:45, with peak being 7:30 to 8:30. Pickup times are 3 to 5:30, with peak being 4 to 5. Currently, by township mandate, and the reason that
Mr. Miller, yes. just so you recognize, mm-hmm. everything you're saying here mm-hmm. is not evidence because. Mm-hmm. You're not sworn in, you're not a witness.
Oh, okay. I apologize.
If you're providing some background to the engineer, that's fine, as mm-hmm. long as there's a question at the end of this. But you're going to have to testify later on to all these things. So
okay.
If we all get right.
Well, then
I'll just, questions.
I'll just let it go. And
okay.
I'm done with my
Thank
questions.
You.
Thank you.
Hey, Jeff, can you please put up A25?
Can you
I'm sorry, Annette Means, A to Z Realty, owner of 721, 725, and 739 Fishburne. Can you blow up the driveway coming in from Governor's Road, especially the parking area in front of the daycare? Go west. Okay. So I just have a quick question. This parking, if this was a public street, would that type of parking be permitted in Hershey, Missouri Township?
There are roads where perpendicular parking is permitted right along the roadway.
In Dare Township?
I believe there are spots along 422 in front of the melt spa, as well as along 743, just north of the square. There's some angle parkings that are perpendicular like that.
I think there's a lane, though, in front of it, correct?
There's a little separation. It's not a formal lane. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit more separation where it's not right up against the roadway. But that does occur in some cases.
Okay.
You have that. That said, this is not a public roadway.
No, it is not. But there is usually not something you want to see, correct, because of inherent conflict between traffic and back out of parking?
I think every alleyway through here between parking aisles has the same situation. I wouldn't necessarily call that an inherent conflict. I think it's a parking lot.
Okay.
Parking maneuvers being made.
Um, this development in its entirety, would you say it is more vehicular oriented or pedestrian oriented?
I think there are some sidewalk connections. I don't know exactly where a sidewalk is shown. Is the only place that sidewalk ultimately will be? I don't know if that still needs to be or could be fleshed out more in terms of providing connections from the sidewalk along the roadways to the facilities in sight. Certainly there are sidewalks shown along those buildings other than the sheets.
Is it as safe to be a pedestrian in this development as it is to be a car?
I don't see a safety issue with the way the development played out for pedestrians or for car flow. If we did, we would have made a comment.
Yeah. Are you familiar with traditional neighborhood development and what it means for the state? Municipal planning code?
The exact definition from the municipal planning code, I don't necessarily know by heart, but I'm familiar with the term and generally what it means.
And what does it mean?
Can you just speak in a...
What does it mean?
It's typically a development that has multiple uses, both residential and commercial, and integrates them within the same site.
Follow-up and testimony. All right, and then on traffic on Fishburne, is it similar to what's on Route 322 down near the roundabout that's there on 322? Are the traffic counts similar to on Fishburne as it is on 322?
No, I think the traffic on Fishburne is less than on 322.
And that roundabout is successful, and it has a straight line approach to the roundabout, correct? There's no curves in the road before you hit the roundabout.
Now there are curves that were introduced, I believe, as part of the roundabout design as they flared out the median and the approach. They introduced some curves there.
But it's part of the approach. It's not part of the road approaching the roundabout.
Correct. And I think that was the statement that was made earlier was that a roundabout could be put in without any impact to neighboring properties, and I think I was making the point that there's likely to be some curvature added to the roadways along the approaches that you might wind up in impact to some of those properties more than what was depicted on that previous exhibit.
You're a traffic engineer. You understand why business owners might be concerned about traffic and its impact on business, correct?
Understand convenience of access is can have an impact on the attractiveness of vehicles coming to a site.
Okay.
That's your question.
Yep. Okay, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Newman?
No comments. No questions.
Thank you. Mr. Smith? Mr. Stain?
No questions. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Twining? Here. Mr. Hitchcock?
I'll make this quick. Matt? At Hitchcock, 110 Beach Avenue.
Can you pull up? Is it T4?
And can you zoom back? Yeah. I know there's been a lot of talk about right of ways. I think based on this, it's not a proposal, but this is possible impacts of right-of-way to these properties. And I think what was discussed was probably either side of Fishburne. Is that correct?
I think the what we have identified on here, they indicated likely restriction on the east side, which is the top of the sheet, because they also have access to the alley, and possible restrictions on the west side because they don't have any other access.
And that's because you're adding a lane?
Correct. Adding the left turn lane in front of those properties.
Right there. Okay. Can you pull up Mr. Miller's pick 11? So, Mr. Miller pulled this up earlier. You can see this is the eastbound side of Fishburne, and there's a common theme here. All of the electrical light poles here. So have you ever seen, when we're talking about right-of-way and discussing,
yes,
obviously you'd like to do the same on either side, have you ever seen where they said, listen, this costs way too much to take all these poles and we're in all our electrical, can we take it just from one side?
So PennDOT prefers to widen for left turn lanes symmetrically, but it's not an absolute requirement. It's their preference for a variety of reasons. But they have been receptive. If you're having difficulty getting, say, right away from a property owner on one side of the road, or if there's physical constraints with utilities or embankment or something else that's wetlands. There are cases where PennDOT will allow you to widen entirely to one side of the road instead of symmetrically. But again, normally it's symmetric, and it's always the starting point, and you have to illustrate to PennDOT why you're not doing that if it's not blended.
Would this be an obstacle, do you think?
I don't think the utility poles would be.
Okay.
If the property owner said no and they were able to get right away from the opposite side of the road, that could be a justification to shift everything over.
Okay, that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Does the board have any questions for Mr. Stump?
So, Eric, I have a question. I have a couple questions that deal with traffic studies. I just need you to take me through. And it doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out explanation, but you've been present in the past when I've asked this question at public meetings, so it's the same question. I'm just curious. I struggle. I've asked the question of, I think, Mr. Creasy when he was testifying, and I'll ask you, and maybe you can share some detail or insight with us, but I saw the presentation on the traffic studies, and I still struggle with whether those studies are accurate, whether the number counts are accurate. So, and all of the traffic study and the conclusions are drawn from those traffic counts. So, is there any reason, can you explain to us just how that, there's a manual that was referred to. I just want to know more about how we come up with these traffic counts, because my underlying premise is they just don't seem, the information we see on the screen doesn't seem to jive with what we see in real life after projects are completed. And it may just, maybe I'm wrong, maybe that's my perception, but I just want to get into how that formula is graded, how your traffic engineers rely on the formulas from the manual, and whether or not are we undercounting the traffic in this general area?
Sure. You do traffic counts to kind of establish existing conditions, and then you project that out to a future year. You account for other development that's within your study area, as well as some background growth, as I mentioned earlier. And that's all to establish kind of a baseline of what traffic might be like at 5 years in the future if this development never occurs. And then you have your development that has a proposed gas station and, you know, the other uses that are in their apartments and daycare, all of those, you're calculating how many trips they may generate or typically generate, and that's based on a database of other sites throughout the country that have been counted. And the gas station with 8 fuel pumps typically generate this much traffic at a peak hour. 30 houses generally generate this much traffic at a peak hour, so on and so forth. Daycare with this many students. And that's, the numbers are taken then from that database, applied to this site for the number of, and from the size of each of those units, added together, and then applied to the driveways and distributed to the roadway network based on where you expect that traffic will be coming from or going to. And that may be based on population data or employment centers or whatever it is, depending on what the land use is. Or it may just be, you know, for use like a gas station, it's usually coming just right off the adjacent road because most of the traffic going to a gas station is already there. But that's all added into the baseline traffic, and then you do a new analysis to see, okay, what's the impact now with this additional traffic added in. Look at that comparison and then determine if improvements are appropriate to return conditions back to what it would have been without the development. Or if there's enough extra capacity to accommodate that extra traffic without additional improvements. And that's the general gist of it. If I remember right, some of this data was collected during COVID, so there were some adjustments made to that raw data based on historic values along 3 points that PennDOT maintains. So there were adjustments from that standpoint to establish that baseline. The data that's used, the ITE handbook that gives data for proposed developments, that's all based on averages from other sites. So some sites, you know, with fueling stations with eight pumps may generate more than that. Some may generate less. The projections are there to kind of, you know, identify what the average site would be. So by definition, some are going to be higher, some are going to be lower. You know, it's not like you take the highest, most intensive gas station that we have and assume that's what we're going to have everywhere. So there's some fluctuation there. And there's fluctuation on a day-to-day basis. You can count today, you can count tomorrow, you might get slightly different numbers. So that may be a little bit of what you're talking about. But again, the idea is to establish a baseline so that you can then quantify the impact of what you're adding on top.
And that may, I understand that, thank you. I don't know what a comparable community in Pennsylvania would look like. Because you're at this particular location, you have a very large medical center, you know, within a quarter of a mile of this intersection. At least the campus begins, even less than that, right? On top of that, then you have the tourism activity that is generally year-round. And, you know, I'm trying to think in my mind, so maybe a similar community for comparison, say, should be a much larger city, you know, in terms of what are the expectation of traffic is. If we're using the average, I guess my concern is I feel like in this community, the traffic on many days throughout the year is much higher than average. And so if we're basing the formula and we're using the average number, we are always going to come out below where we should come out when we're using the average, but we're a community that should definitely be looking at the high end of those numbers. And maybe I don't know if that even makes sense. I'm obviously, you know, I'll say what everybody keeps saying, I'm not a traffic engineer, but I look at the traffic.
So it's always possible or palatable to maybe do a local study or develop rates locally and for different uses, and that's something. Either the ordinance could be written to count comparable sites in the township to develop a local rate. I don't know. Or it's something the township maybe could undertake to establish their own local rates. That wouldn't be easy thing to do, and I don't know that I've seen that elsewhere, but I have seen where you do collect local data for some of the analysis parameters, how aggressive drivers are and some other things that you can adjust default settings in the traffic analysis software. You can do that based on what local drivers are actually doing. It's kind of a similar thing that you're saying. If we're generally busier than the normal gas station or the normal daycare or what have you, maybe there's some benefit to look at things differently. But certainly the national guidance as well as PennDOT guidance is to look at the average from the IT manual.
And based on your review, I think you may have testified to this at a prior meeting. It seems like a long time ago. But I just want to be sure I understand what your answer was. As it relates to the overall traffic improvements, is it your opinion that those traffic improvements will improve the traffic flow at that area? It will have no effect, or it will? It could be worse. The traffic improvements won't satisfactorily even neutralize the traffic.
I think it'll significantly improve the Sandhill Fishburne intersection once that's relocated and signalized. I think that the delay will decrease there. I think at the other intersections, they're illustrating that it's a fairly minimal impact. Level of service are relatively remaining the same, and most queues are comparable. There's a few that are getting longer, but most of them are comparable to what they were without the building.
So you mentioned the Sandhill relocation. That's proposed in the plan. Has that been decided? I know it's clear it's in the plan, the relocation of the road, but has that been decided officially that the road is being, because all of these traffic routes seem to relate to the road being relocated.
Correct. I think where Sandhill is right now is too close to the Governor Road intersection to signalize that there's not enough room for development of turn lanes and stacking between those two signals, which is why they're looking to relocate it as part of the project in order to get that separation. And really, it would be difficult to mitigate the impact of the site traffic at that intersection if it were not signalized or ramped out or some other treatment that improves the service from the side street.
And is that a PennDOT decision to relocate the road or a township decision to relocate that road?
I think in this case it's more of a developer decision to do so, as part of the project so that they can mitigate the impacts at that intersection.
All right, thank you.
Hi, Eric. I just had a couple of questions in regards. The first ones are in regards to the Greater Hershey Area Transportation Study. So I know you talked about that at one of our prior meetings. And the questions I have about that are when that was proposed and submitted to the public back in 2020, PennDOT does not weigh in on that book of ideas.
That's correct. Yeah, PennDOT did not review that study, nor were they part of the coalition that worked on developing that study.
So they've never offered any comments. It's just basically a book of ideas.
Correct.
Okay. And that book of ideas also doesn't consider any new development when it's putting together an idea for a certain intersection. It's just an idea, but without anything going on around it. So it's just looking at the roads without anything else.
There were some traffic projections associated with anticipated development.
Okay, but nothing specific.
Correct. We weren't designing driveways to new developments. It was really what the existing intersections need at some point in the future to handle the projected traffic volumes.
Okay. So the Greater Hershey Area Transportation Study, those idea books could change dramatically based on what sort of proposals are made for development.
Correct. We had one of the first parts of that study was to kind of do like a land use assumption report, and that identified what development we thought might occur within the next 20 years. And again, just for purposes of projecting traffic, but in no way were we laying out how those developments, or no, exactly what those developments might look like.
Okay.
Just wanted to get, you know, an order of magnitude of how much traffic they might be adding and what kind of what locations, so we knew where and how to distribute those to the roadway network.
When that plan was made public, we had a couple of hearings talking to the public about it. And I don't know if it was you or maybe it was Mr. Bonanno that was here during those hearings, but one thing that we did make very clear to the public when they had a lot of concerns about parts of that Greater Hershey Area Transportation Study, that it was just an idea book, that these things didn't have to be implemented, and that there would be a lot of other factors that would go into consideration before anything was done out of that idea book.
Correct. The idea there is to identify what might be needed. It is in no means mapping funding sources it's more so for planning purposes. So if funding does come up and there's an entity identified, we kind of know, here's one possible solution for that. Also, you know, if we know we're going to be widening a road or planning to widen a road, might want to consider that with future setbacks or where utilities are going and that sort of thing. So just so that if we're putting in a new sidewalk, we might want to put that far enough back that we don't need to relocate that in 5 years when we do wind up widening the road. So that was the purpose of the planning study. But if it's just that, it's you know, possible improvement projects, but nothing that is you know, mapped or funded or anything like that.
Okay. I also wanted to ask, Mr. Winter was asking about the pork chop, and he had mentioned that he was asking questions along the lines of whether or not PennDOT would approve a plan if that pork chop was perhaps taken out of it during the HOP process. So that leads me to a concern that I've had with this project since the beginning, and that is looking at the project, it looks to me, again, like there is only one way out of this whole development to make a left-hand turn. That's it. So if that pork chop were to be removed, there would be two ways in and one way out. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And that's PennDOT's prerogative.
Yeah, PennDOT.
During the HOP process, they get to make that decision, not the township.
Could be both. I don't know if the township has an ordinance that says, you know, development over a certain size must have two accesses or something to that effect.
That's my next question. So I know you look at a lot of these projects. How often do you... Is it usual to see a project with only one way to make a left-hand turn out of a project of this size? Is that something you see often?
I think it's rather common. There's often projects will have one main driveway, and then you know maybe the right in right out driveway or some other ancillary access. But it's not uncommon to have one location where you can make lefts.
Okay. And I don't know if I misheard Mr. Winter when he was going through his questions, but he said something along the lines of. Coming out to a light, I just want to be clear that where that left-hand turn is out onto Sand Hill, there is no light. It's stop signs. I don't know if you have the master plan, you can see where this is. It's number exhibit A25, and it's page... I was looking at something different. So if you look down where the left-hand turn is back out on the Sand Hill Road, I just wanted to be clear, there's not a traffic light there. The traffic light is up at Sand Hill and Fishburne.
Correct.
So I might have just misheard the conversation wrong, but it's just stop signs.
There would be always an upright stop signs on all three approaches to that intersection.
I don't have any other questions.
Any other questions for the board?
I don't have any other questions that I've not been asked.
Excuse me. jump by, you have a few. Might take me a little more time to work my way through them over it. Can we bring up Exhibit A29, I think it's a revised traffic impact study? Go to page 36. Will the we go back to 825, just the master. Let's make it easier. The new relocated intersection of Sand Hill and Fishburne, with the alley making the fourth leg of that. Did any of the studies show that this realignment actually push more traffic into the alley?
It did not account for increased traffic volumes on the alley. And again, that's because of at the time they're doing the study, don't necessarily know which driveways are going to be restricted or which one may, which volumes may shift from the Fishburne approach to the alley approach.
Is having the alley kind of offset as the fourth leg, is that a problem?
It's better, generally, to have them aligned. I think we might have made a comment to that effect to consider widening and or realignment, or to look at split phasing for that signal where the alley gets the green by itself and then the other side gets green by itself. I think they provided us analysis that indicated that if it needed to be split phased, it could be. But as we get through the HOP process, that may still look at, as we're widening the alley, which we were surprised, may look at realigning it as well. Now, on the flip side, it can be safer to have split phasing where you have one side go against the other. So if it works from a capacity standpoint, maybe that may even be a better situation. But
now, the split phasing could affect the level of services of the other three lanes because the alley is now taking up more time.
Correct. But again, the analysis that was shown, which we didn't redistribute more traffic onto the alley, but at least what we had there, there wasn't enough traffic on the alley, but that was coming up frequently enough to have a significant effect.
And lastly, on the alignment of the alley coming in at an angle, I assume that's not ideal either.
Correct. Generally, you want driveways or alleys or any intersection to be as close to 90 degrees as it can be.
And I believe you've testified, it's your belief at this time that the township owns a 20-foot right-of-way for the alley?
That's my understanding based on the discussion with township staff.
You've mentioned some issues with the Sand Hill turn radius, I think, for truck turning purposes in the past.
Correct. I think both turning onto Sand Hill off of Fishburne, as well as turning from Sand Hill into the development.
And are those, is that minimum radius, is that a PennDOT standard or a township SALVO standard?
PennDOT has some requirements for radii, which generally are inadequate for turning trucks, so they'll often permit something bigger to accommodate those turning movements. And I think in both cases, it's radii that affect on-site, so it's within their control. I think we can work something better than what's been shown. But PennDOT does have guidelines, as well as the township does in their ordinance for driveways and intersection radii.
Okay, so if it's a SALVO requirement, this is something you either have to address or get a waiver to?
I don't have the language in front of me. My hunch is a SALVO requirement might be a minimum. So if you go larger than that, might be for the PennDOT. PennDOT has a range. If you see that range, they want justification. But I think the SALVO might be just minimums.
You also testified at an earlier hearing regarding recommendations in the township comp plan and I think the traffic study that's in their care, exhibit one. But those recommendations didn't anticipate this development, correct?
Which recommendations?
I think you had recommendations regarding traffic in this general area of the township, recommendations about traffic improvements, roadway improvements in the township comp plan and in the township. Let me see if I can correct.
I think that roadway relocation is planned or identified as a need with or without development on this corner. I think that's your question. I think that it's occurring at private entities' expense as opposed to the township expense probably makes it more of a realistic project. But the need for that project was identified without considering necessarily the traffic or development from that corner.
I guess what I was leading to was, would those recommendations possibly change with a development this size now being proposed for this corner? Or would other recommendations be made based on, you know, this type of development being built in this location?
And I think what we showed here was the connection. We didn't necessarily get into what turn lane should be here or how long they should be, or I think that's so I think the connection as a whole has merit with or without the development. I don't know if the development intensity changes that need, but exactly what that connection looks like, how many lanes it has, that could be dependent based on that development size.
Going to the TIS and I think the scoping and reviews with PennDOT, I think you testified earlier, the township had already made comments on the TIS during those meetings with PennDOT, is that correct?
Yeah, so when scoping applications are submitted for new traffic studies, they're typically submitted to the township and PennDOT concurrently for review. And then once both entities make their comments, then you meet to discuss the comments and generally get to come to agreement on what the study is going to contain. And then the applicant updates their scoping application just to kind of memorialize what was discussed.
And so we've gone through the scoping application process and we've gone through the TIS process.
Correct.
And we're now on the HOP process.
They are, correct.
They are, yes. Yeah, royal, let's put it that way. I think you also testified that there was discussions regarding the proposed signal at Sand Hill and Fishburne.
Correct.
And I think you testified that the township was in support of that signal, despite the fact that it's closer than recommended to the signal at Governor's Road.
Correct, based on this study and other studies that have been done, in fact, that has been added to the official map and the comp plan, and that's something that the township's been anticipating occurring for some time.
So was there any, when that comment was passed on to PennDOT, has there been any specific discussion the township saying, yes, we support this particular signal at this location in conjunction with this development, or was that just based on these prior studies and plans?
I think the context was that this is an existing intersection that already needs signal warrants. There's a lot of traffic coming through here. There's delays and safety concerns of vehicles pulling out of Sandhill from the stop sign, that it would be a better situation to relocate Sandhill with the signal.
So this was not something that either the board or the township manager had said, yeah, we support. This was just something based on, in general, in the past, the township was looking for this intersection to be relocated.
Correct, again, consistent with the planning documents in the township.
There's been some questions tonight regarding pedestrian circulation. If we bring up A25 again, that'd probably be best. Do you have any issues as a township engineer, or traffic engineer, with the lack of pedestrian connections between the daycare and the Sheets?
You're talking about
the sidewalk ends at the end of the road, parking instead of continuing on and showing, you know, at least connecting to the sidewalk in front of along Governor's Road, or, you know, doing some sort of crosswalk across the right end there to make a safer connection to Sheets, between Sheets and the daycare. Is that an issue, in your opinion?
We've made some comments to it to provide sidewalks from 322 to the Sheets entrance, the existing sidewalk along Thunder, not necessarily to make the connection from the daycare facility to the Sheets. Yeah, maybe I don't know that all the sidewalk is definitive exactly as it's shown in this plan. I think it's given the final design. I'll still tweak those sort of things. But no, we did not make a comment to provide a connection from the daycare into the Sheets parking lot.
Likewise, do you have any opinion on the lack of a sidewalk leading from the exit from the site onto Sandhill Road, going west down relocated Sandhill Road towards Cherry?
I don't believe there's any sidewalk there now to tie into, so that it could extend along the extent of the property frontage a little bit further, perhaps. And again, that may be something that's still worked out during design or during, you know, formal land development.
Let's go to exhibit T4. Yes. So on T4, you prepared and you noted the various properties that may have left turn restrictions, let's leave it at that. Noting what properties possibly might have left turn restrictions due to road improvements proposed as development, correct?
Correct.
How are those left turn restrictions imposed?
South of the intersection, I wondered the same, whether there would be a median ultimately added here to enforce that, or it's going to be through a series of signs or some other treatment.
What I'm aiming more towards is Is this some PennDOT regulation that can then be enforced, or is it something that the township would have to enact an ordinance prohibiting these left turns in order to be enforceable?
No, it's PennDOT that would that would do it. It would be fall to maybe the township or state police to enforce it, but it would be PennDOT. You know, PennDOT's roads, they're the ones that are monitoring the access there. So if there's signage restrictions or median or some other thing,
they would enact official regulations that then could be cited if someone did make an inappropriate left turn by a police officer. Or
it could be a violation of their permit if they're accessing it otherwise.
Okay. Were there ever any truck turning templates prepared for turns in and out of the alley with the relocated intersection?
There have not been at this point.
Is that something that should be required?
It would be a part of the traffic signal design and HOP. Again, we didn't do a formal review of the HOP. We looked at it for consistency with the conditional use application to this point, just to make sure what they're showing there wasn't drastically different than what we had, as well as kind of looked at the right of way, just so we could get a better understanding of what the property impacts were. But didn't really review the technical components of the HOP.
Clarification question on this particular exhibit. If you blow up around the Bloomberg property, there is a gray line that runs parallel to the rear property line. What is that gray line? Yeah, right there, correct. Is that a zoning line?
No, I'm not sure. It might be a zoning line. I think if you zoom into the there's gray text
where it's there's gray text that says attached residential zone AR.
Yeah. I'm not sorry. This was not a plan that HRG developed. HRG added the red and blue markings on there. We kind of annotated what was provided. I'm not certain what that gray line is representing. That was a zoning boundary or something different.
We can switch to exhibit A24. Go to page 2. Just something I noticed during your testimony. There's a, you blow that up, yes. You have center and wars. Love new computers, Chuck.
It's fast. It's fast.
There, go to your left, or to your left on the plan. Yeah, keep up. Right there. There's that darkened area. It's an alley. Do you know who owns that alley? There is a note there that says they can convey to the adjoining property owner by granting order of law, but I was wondering if you have any independent knowledge of that alley, Mr. Stumpfer, who owns it.
I don't know. I would rely on our site reviewers and surveyors for that question. Didn't appear to necessarily affect the proposed conditions that they were recommending, but again, they certainly they did have to go through the process to make sure they have rights to do what they say they're planning to do.
So, as part of your review of these plans, you did not investigate that alley at all?
I did not. I don't know if that was investigated by others in our company, or that would be done later in the process in land development.
Thank you. That's all I have. Is there anything from the board? Are we done?
Just had a quick follow-up on that. So Eric, I just want to be clear, because I asked you the question about whose decision it was to relocate the road. Because I thought I knew, but I'm not sure about your answer. I'll just direct you to – 18-2022 letter from HRG. And it's also, but the same language is included in the November 17th, 2022 HRG letter. You have those documents, right? They're in the list of exhibits, but I don't have an exhibit number. Towards the end of the list.
What were the names?
It was the October 18th, 2022 HRG letter.
I think that was T3, if I remember right.
I'm the 17th.
There's an October 17th, 2022 letter.
There's a November 17th also. But maybe they'll go to this letter from the November 17th, 2022, and it's actually a revised letter that was sent out.
Yeah, currently not an exhibit.
October 18th, 2022?
Can you just scroll? That's not an exhibit currently.
Yeah.
It is.
All right, what exhibit?
No,
it's not. We have an October 17th, but not an October 18th.
Can I make that an exhibit?
You cannot ask for it ever.
All right, I just, general question then, so can you clarify for me, is it, in terms of relocating Sand Hill Road, is that a PennDOT decision, a township decision? It sounded like you said it was the developer's decision.
Correct. The developer is proposing a relocation of the road as part of a mitigation for their...
But who are they proposing that to?
Both township and PennDOT.
So it is PennDOT and the townships.
Correct. PennDOT has jurisdiction of Fishburne. So where that intersection is, where the signal would be, that's something PennDOT would have to approve. The remainder of the roadway that comes away from Fishburne will be the townships.
And we've seen a lot of, in various documents that have been introduced as exhibits, including not only the applicant's documents that have been admitted, but also there were some specifically admitted or offered as exhibits, and I believe admitted by Mr. Crist. There's reference to the township, right? And we use that term. It's like, I don't even know who the township is anymore in these hearings, but when PennDOT is seeking township approval, whose approval are they specifically seeking? Like, who does that mean? Who are they referring to, the township?
The approval from there would be the acceptance of the new right-of-way and the vacation of the old right-of-way, as well as the township would be the applicant for the traffic signal permit.
When we say the township, though, are we referring to the Board of Supervisors, or are we referring to township engineer or the community development director? Who do they perceive the township to be for that authority?
So with regard to the signal application, I believe the board has previously authorized somebody from township staff. I forget if it's Mr. Emmerich or Mr. Crispin, but has authorized somebody to sign signal applications on behalf of the board.
Right.
I think formal vacations of right-of-way, acceptance of right-of-way, I don't know that there's such a document that gives a blanket authorization for somebody to sign on their behalf. So I think that would come to the board for formal acceptance of right-of-way or for vacation.
Right. And so in the documents where PennDOT, we've seen exhibits introduced where PennDOT has referenced township approval. Is it your opinion that ultimately means the Township Board of Supervisors for approval?
For the acquisition of the new right-of-way?
But for any of the issues that PennDOT is, for whether it's the right-in, right-outs, the pork chop, or distance between the intersection at Fishburne and Governor versus the distance, distance between proposed relocated Sand Hill Road and Fishburne. I mean, there are any number of issues that, from the exhibits introduced, PennDOT is relying on township approval or support. You know, they've opined on the topic. Correct. So is that, so who is that?
They're, in that case, they're relying on the township engineer as well as township staff to speak on behalf of where, you know, not every issue is brought to the board for formal action. Generally, you use those planning documents as the guidelines, the comprehensive plan, the official map kind of lays out what formal action has occurred by the board to create those documents. And we relay that back, as well as no other discussions, interactions that go on. Understand if, you know, if the what PennDOT's looking for is a little bit of time.
All right, and in this particular project, is there, as have either you as the township speak specifically just about you and not anyone else from the township, but have you ever brought to the board's attention seeking approval of the relocation of the road or widening of Fishburne and taking properties associated with that widening?
So the widening of Fishburne, again, both those items are proposed by the developer. I think that's what we're here is to seek the board's approval of those items associated with the development. The widening of Fishburne is kind of inherent to adding a traffic signal and relocating it, which again has been kind of on the plan documents.
I don't want to belabor it, but thank you. I do appreciate your answers.
Anyone else?
From the board?
Seeing none, Mr. Strong, do you have any redirect?
Or, sir?
No! Wrong witness. Mr. McNair, any redirect? And if so, how long?
I do have redirect. I expect it to be about 20 minutes.
Okay, we're going to move that to June. And take this opportunity to see if maybe we can nail down, at least start the discussions of dates for, so I think at this point it's going to be July and August. Yes. Yeah, I do believe, I got to check my calendar.
Mr. Nelson, do you want me to take that down?
No, you can go off record now. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have June 21.
Right.
July.
So currently our next hearing is June 21st here at 6 p.m. We're looking for July.
Mr. Nelson, not to interrupt you, but you want me to wait on to close the hearing then?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, but don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere.
Hopefully we'll announce
two or three more days. Before we're going to go off the record, we're going to discuss among ourselves. We're going to throw out a few dates to the parties and see if we can try to nail this down.
Sure.
what's shown on the 26th is the UCC Appeals Board. We've had two hearings in 12 years. I think we'll be okay.
Not necessarily.
We've had two hearings in 12 years.
Wow.
How does somebody get on one of those by that
point? I can't live that, so I would assume I will get maybe an hour.
Mr. Strong, how about Tuesday, July 18th?
That works.
Mr. McNair?
Yes.
That works. Mr. Greenberg, Mr. Getz?
Good for me.
Mr. Winter?
Sure.
Mr. Christ?
Okay.
Bad for me, but I'll figure it out.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. If that's the case, we'll just, we will move things around, make sure you have a date when you can, put on your own testimony if we're at that point.
Okay.
You're not going to miss that opportunity. You will get a chance. So why don't we do the 18th, July 18th? Same bat time, same bat place. And Chuck, if we can move to August, let's try to nail down an August date at least. No.
Hey, Francis has a new look.
And how about Mr. Strong, August 24th?
Yes, that works.
Mr. McNair?
It works for me.
Mr. Greenberg, Mr. Getz?
Good.
Mr. Christ?
Yes.
Mr. Winter?
Yes.
Okay. Ms. Beans? Yeah, so worst comes to worst, we're good? Okay. We can go back on the record. If we do not complete this hearing on June 21st, it will be continued to July, of course, not enough to learn dates.
18th.
July 18th, and if not, you finish then to August 24th. Thank you very much. Have a safe trip home.